Asatyam.
Asatyam.
Unreal.
Unreal.
Apatishtam.
Apatishtam.
Without foundation.
Without foundation.
Te.
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 Jagat.
Jagat.
The cosmic manifestation.
The cosmic manifestation.
Ahu.
Ahu.
Se.
Se.
Anishwaram.
Anishwaram.
With no controller.
With no controller.
Aparaspara.
Aparaspara.
Without cause.
Without cause.
Sambhutam.
Sambhutam.
Arisen.
Arisen.
Kim anyat.
Kim anyat.
There is no other cause.
There is no other cause.
Kamahaitukam.
Kamahaitukam.
It is you to last only.
It is you to last only.
Verse. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Please repeat. They say that this world is unreal.
They say that this world is unreal.
With no foundation.
With no foundation.
No God in control.
No God in control.
They say it is produced of sex desire.
They say it is produced of sex desire.
And has no cause other than lust.
And has no cause other than lust.
The following purport is written by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The demonic conclude that the world is phantasmagoria. There is no cause and effect, no controller, no purpose. Everything is unreal. They say that this cosmic manifestation arises due to chance, material actions and reactions. They do not think that the world was created by God for a certain purpose. They have their own theory that the world has come about in its own way, and that there is no reason to believe that there is a God behind it. For them, there is no difference between spirit and matter, and they do not accept the Supreme Spirit. Everything is matter only, and the whole cosmos is supposed to be a mass of ignorance. According to them, everything is void, and whatever manifestation exists is due to our ignorance in perception. They take it for granted that all manifestation of diversity is a display of ignorance. Just as in a dream, we may create so many things which actually have no existence. So when we are awake, we should see that everything is simply a dream. But factually, although the demons say that life is a dream, they are very expert in enjoying this dream. And so, instead of acquiring knowledge, they become more and more implicated in their dreamland. They conclude that as a child is simply the result of sexual intercourse between man and a woman, this world is born without any soul. For them, it is only a combination of matter that has produced the living entities, and there is no question of the existence of the soul. As many living creatures come out from perspiration and from a dead body without any cause, the whole living world has come out of the material combinations of the cosmic manifestation. Therefore, material nature is the cause of this manifestation, and there is no other cause. They do not believe in the words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Vyakshena Prakriti Suyate Chacharachara. Under my direction, the whole material world is moving. In other words, among the demons, there is no perfect knowledge of the creation of the world. every one of them has some particular theory of his own. According to them, one interpretation of the scriptures is as good as another, for they not believe in a standard understanding of the scriptural injunctions. Asatyam apatishtante jagat ahur anishvaram aparas parasambhutam kimmanyat kamahaitukam. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Om Jnana Tivinandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadama Yandadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Gitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Krishna Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasa Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the idea of the materialistic people. Since they cannot see God, they conclude that God does not exist, because they can believe only to what they see. We don't agree, of course. We see everything with the eyes of the scriptures. And also, it is quite logical that if there is an effect, there must be a cause. If there is a world, must be a world maker. Nothing comes from nothing. Just like we can not know the father or the child, but the presence of a child is the demonstration, is the proof that there must be a father and a mother. You don't need to go to the child saying, please prove me that you have a father and a mother. There is no need, because he himself is the proof. So if we don't know the cause, we can have an idea of it by looking to the effect. And on the other way, if we see a cause, we can have an understanding, a prior understanding of the future effect. Because cause and effect, they are similar, they are not equal. They are similar in quality, so we can have an understanding of each other when one of the two misses. So there is a world, there must be a creator of the world. The world is intelligent, that means that there is obviously some intelligence behind. That means the creator of this world must be intelligent, so must be a person. Cannot not be a person, because there is no logic. Logic is important, rationality is important. Our philosophy is not based on faith. The word Shraddha doesn't mean faith exactly. You know. Prabhupada gives this translation. But in other places, Srila Prabhupada translates the word Shraddha differently. He says that Shraddha is the initial impetus for spiritual life. Because you cannot have faith in something that you don't know. You know, you cannot go to a person that never saw Krishna, never heard about Krishna, say, you should have a faith in Krishna. It doesn't work, it really doesn't work. This person will tell you. well, you know, if you want me to have faith on Krishna, you know, let me see him. Tell me something at least. I remember when we became devotees, at that time, in the 70s, there was a big upsurge of communist philosophy in Europe. It was very big, very strong. And all of us boys at that time, we wouldn't accept anything if we did not understand it. So there was always some big fight between materialistic and spiritual, but actually it was a people who wanted to, there was a struggle between people who wanted to use the intelligence and people who didn't want. Especially in my country where I was born in Italy, where Christianity is right there, just in the center of Italy, that is the Vatican. So I was born in Rome, and Rome is the most Catholic city in the world, at least on the paper. So in Rome there is a big church every 100 meters, just something bigger than our temple here. Every 100 meters there is something bigger than this. So you can only imagine the presence of Christianity and Catholicism in the city. And I remember as a kid, that time the hour of religion was compulsory. You had to go, just like you had to go for math or for physics or anything. So there was also 1 hour Saturday before Sunday, because they wanted to push you on Sunday to go to church. As a kid, I would always put questions to the priest, because the professor was a priest, and ask him, explain me just how God is, how he looks like, what is he says, and why people dies, why I am born in Rome with all the facility to know Jesus Christ, and other people takes birth and not, you know, in somewhere else, and there is no facility at all. It doesn't look a little unjust, a little unfair, that some people get more. If this is the only life, then God, if he's good, that he should give the same chance for everybody to know him. Why someone dies after a few days, why someone dies after 8 years. And he couldn't answer. And he would tell me, religion is based on faith, not on intelligence. You should just believe. It doesn't matter if you understand or not understand. You should just believe. So of course I won't believe, I won't accept it. But because I was, as all my generation was, very attracted to spiritual life, we were looking for gurus, and etc. I met many gurus and nobody would answer to my questions. The only spiritual master who answered to my question was Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada had the answer to everything. Every question I had, he was answered, or he would answer, or the devotees would answer to. At the beginning, we should understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in such a way our natural, devotional, spiritual feelings will arise, and naturally we will feel attracted to spiritual life. In this verse, it talks about sex. First of all, sex is a perverted reflection of the spiritual love in the spiritual world. The love between Krishna and his devotees is reflected in this material world, but just like a reflection, it is, you know, just like a tree. If a tree reflects on the water, you'll see that the upper part in the reflection is down. You see, it reflects down, and like a mirror, yeah. So it reflects on the other way. Whatever is the most pure and noble in the spiritual world is exactly the contrary in the material world. Why? Because it's perverted. So what is the best in the spiritual world, it is also the greatest, the strongest in the material world, and because of that is more binding. This is the reason. Because it is the love in the spiritual world which is the greatest, because it gives more emotion, it gives more taste. When we experience material emotions, then we have more trouble, because that is the resemblance of the spiritual emotions. Because of this, it's very, very difficult to overcome it. But one thing that we should understand is that in the material world, the object of our attraction has no attraction in itself. There's no attraction. Let's say, most beautiful woman, most beautiful man. Men are attracted to women, and women are attracted to men. But the attraction does not reside in the object of our attraction. Why? Because you may be attracted to a beautiful woman. If I am a woman and not attracted to a beautiful woman, attracted to something else. If attraction was present in the object itself, then everybody would be attracted to the same object. Now we can see that dogs are very attracted to she-dogs. We are not attracted. No. We see these dogs doing crazy things just to conquer their female. And they think that their legs are very attractive, and we look at that, and they look like chickens, you know. They are completely unattractive. And what a dog thinks of the best and most beautiful woman in the world. You know, the men are looking at this beautiful woman, and our dog is looking for something to eat. It just doesn't care. Why? Because the attraction is not present in that object. That attraction is just our reflection, what we put in that object. That is called in Sanskrit upadhi. Upadhi means superstructural attribute, something that we project from our mind in that object, and we feel attracted. But we are feeling attracted to our own attraction, to our own energy of attraction, and we attribute that value to the particular object. We can give thousands of proofs, not only the dog and, you know, the few things we have been told, but why a liberated sage does not feel any attraction for the most beautiful woman in the world. Why? Because he does not project it. He does not project because he has no the desire. There is no attraction because he doesn't project it, because he has no the attraction inside himself. This is the proof that actually a sex attraction will go away by itself as soon as inside we stop thinking that the particular thing is attractive. Immediately, it just stops. Just like when you go to a cinema. As soon as the machine, the projector, stops, there is no form anymore. Immediately. We are projecting the attraction. If we stop projecting it, it's stopped. There is no anymore. It just vanishes. It just disappears. That's why the negative approach to sensual attraction, trying to say that it's bad, that it's disgusting, it just doesn't work. Because we actually don't feel that this is disgusting. The only way that actually works is purification. Because it's through purification, through Krishna consciousness, that attraction goes away. You cannot say that it's not attractive. Because you are attracting your original pure love for Krishna. You are giving that value to the particular object. It's very powerful. You cannot not have an object to love. The necessity of love is inside yourself. It's embedded in your soul. It's part of your soul. So you must have an object to love. Until we are materialists, we must have a material object. When we become spiritualists, then we can change the object of our love immediately. Spiritual world is different. And what is the proof? That Krishna is attractive for everyone. men, women, cows, dogs, birds, rivers, mountains, everybody loves Krishna. Doesn't matter what it is, who he is, what is his service, everyone is attracted to Krishna. Krishna himself is attracted to himself, to Krishna. Why? Because beauty does not depend on a subjective projection, no, but it's objectively present in the object Krishna, the person Krishna. We have a nice story in Krishna book that illustrates this point. Of course, every one of you knows this story, but we'll tell it anyway. The story begins when Krishna killed the demon Aga, the Agasura. At that time, all the demigods that were in the skies and were looking to the sun and this Krishna. A small boy entered in the mouth of this huge serpent and he choked him to death. This boy cannot be a common boy. It must be someone greater, some incarnation. So at the end they concluded that Krishna must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So the devas told Brahmaji, that boy is Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnated. And Brahma was wondering, you know, why he was thinking to this information. He was looking from his world, he was looking to the earth, and he was seeing Krishna, this was a small boy like this, you know, playing like a normal boy, common boy. And he was being rebuked by his mother, and he was attracted to the gopis. He looked, you know, he didn't look really, really divine to his eyes. So he thought, no, I want to see if this Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of God the incarnate. So he came to this world, and at that time, Krishna and the gopas were going with the cows here in Vrindavan, and the boys were having fun. They were playing various types of games. They sat down on the banks of the Yamuna, eating their lunch. And the cows, they were going to graze the forest freely, quite happy to do that. So Brahma came and took away all the cows and calves and put them asleep, and he put them into a cave. At the time, the gopas, the kids, the boys, they become very worried. Where are our cows? Where are the cows? Where they are? Krishna said, don't bother, I will go to look for them. No worries, you continue your breakfast. Continue playing and having fun. So Krishna got up and went into the forest. He couldn't find them. He couldn't find the cows. The cows, they had disappeared. And when he came back at the bank of the Yamuna, he found that the boys also were gone. Wondering what happened. Brahma is taking the boys also. So Krishna, at that time, by his internal energy, expanded himself into the cows, the boys, an exact replica. Just exactly as the original they were. The same way of doing, the same clothes, everything. And they came back, everyone to their home in Vrindavan. At that time, the boys, they were still camped outside the Vrindavan forest, waiting for the villages to be built up in Nandagram, what now we know as Nandagram and Varshanaj, etc. When he came back, the mothers of the boys and the cows, the mothers of the cows, they felt more attraction for those expansions. And they could not understand why. Even the cows, they felt more attraction for their cows at the time than before. Why? Because they were Krishna. They didn't know that their sons and cows they were Krishna, but they felt attraction the same. So why is that? Because the power of attraction was present in the person Krishna in himself. It didn't depend on anything external. But was present, even if they didn't know, still they felt attraction. This is the difference between Sri Krishna as an object of attraction, which has attraction in itself, and this is why he is called Krishna. He's a source of all attractions. And the object of attraction in the material world. In the material world, there is no object of attraction whatsoever. Nothing is attractive in this material world. We give the power of attraction to the object. While in the spiritual world, Krishna and everything present in the spiritual world has attraction in themselves. Everyone is attracted to Krishna, everyone is attracted to Vrindavan, everyone is attracted to the great devotees present in Vrindavan. So, to wrap it up, I just want to say that lust can be conquered only by purification. And how we get purified? That is quite simple. If you have a bar, an iron bar, which is cold, but you want it hot, how to do? You take the bar and you put it in the fire. By association, the cold iron bar will become hot because the fire is hot. So, and the more you keep it, and the more the iron bar becomes hot. It just is exactly the same for us. Right now, we have material identifications by continuum. Association with spiritual objects or spiritual persons. Everything spiritual. It's just a question of time. And we'll get purified. They will become hot. Hot in the sense. Purified. It's just a question of time. Just keep yourself in contact with the fire. Just keep yourself in contact with the mantra, with Vrindavan, with the Murtis, with the Kirtan, with Srila Prabhupada books, devotional service, etc., etc. And there is no doubt, just a question of time, and we'll become completely liberated, and then we'll get pure devotional service. Okay, so we have 10 minutes more, then we have to conclude. I hope that there is some questions so we can cover these 10 minutes. Of course, there are many other things to say. But just like the disease is basically one. Disease means something which is not balanced in our body. This is disease. But then the disease, it takes different aspects depending. Disease, sickness. Although it's one, but it takes many aspects. You know, depends from the body, depending from what happened, etc. When you are diseased, you go to a doctor, a personal doctor, not a book, because there are so many details. From the details, the medicine may be different. When you go to a guru, which is a spiritual master, he will tell you exactly what to do depending from your personal situation. And then that will work. Because if you adopt the cure of another person, then it will not work. Because you are different. You are not the same person. If you have family life and you cannot give it up, you have your work, you cannot give it up, then depending from your situation, your specific situation, you need a particular cure. Maybe in your case you don't need to fight, just let everything go as it is and just chant Hare Krishna. There are two ways of doing a spiritual life: trying to artificially uproot the reason or the cause of your disease, or if you cannot make it, you just forget about trying to uproot them and you just take the medicine. If you don't do it, maybe it will take longer, but it will work. If you cannot do spiritual life full time, do spiritual life as much as you can, and you'll see naturally that results will be there. One mistake that many people does is to force too much. If you force too much, what happens is that you'll feel unhappiness, because it's just unnatural, it's just artificial. Psychologically, you start to accumulate the feeling of unhappiness with spiritual life, and at the end you prefer to give up spiritual life, because at the end you are not anymore able to see that unhappiness does not come from spiritual, from trying to be Krishna conscious. It's because you are still trying to enjoy material life. But if you force spiritual life, psychologically you say, no, I'm suffering because I'm trying to be Krishna conscious, and you give it up. Then don't. You continue the life that is natural for you to do, and just put inside your life whatever is good and whatever is positive, whatever doesn't cause any suffering to you, which means the Maha Mantra, reading the scriptures, going to the temple, doing some service. That's it. And you'll see the result. If you want more, well, it's just like in a material life. If you want more money, you have to work more. So if you want more in Krishna consciousness, then you have to give something up. If you don't want to give up, then don't expect too much. You have to expect in proportion to what you do. Spiritual life, sometimes we can put some push, and sometimes we don't, we shouldn't, depending from the situation. Prabhupada told us, just give everything up. But we were kids, you know. I was 18 when I became a devotee. I didn't have a family. And I didn't have much to give up. I was a student. It was easier. But sometimes a grown-up man has a family and habits, very difficult to give up. And don't. You'll see one day that you will not give them up, they will disappear by themselves, without effort, without suffering. They just, you don't even know how it happened, and you see yourself without attachment, because you don't have to give up your family, you have to give up the attachment. It's not a marriage that is against the spiritual principles, the attachment. It's the identification with the body that is to be cured. Sometimes the hasta life is very good. It's indirect, but it's good. And one day you look and no attachment. And you'll see that your wife was never your wife, she was a soul. You were never his husband, you were a soul. Because husband and wife means man and a woman. We are not men and we are not a woman, it's all illusion. Of course, if one can live as a brahmachari the whole life, that's better. That's better. But if we cannot, then it is a life. And you will learn. Because we are not his body, we are not men, we are not, they are not women. The attraction is completely on the material platform, gross or subtle, but it's a material attraction. One day, this couple will disappear, and the souls will go. Who knows where? Never meet again, maybe. Why all these years, tens of years in family life? You are my husband, you are my son, you are nothing. That's a very good question. There are many symptoms. Basically, there are two. How much we are getting detached from material life, how much we are getting attached to the spiritual life. Before becoming a devotee, we were always thinking about money, about society, success, and sports, and these kind of things. As much as you see still thinking and deciding and feeling attracted to the, to these things, that means that you are still in this, still prisoner of this material life. As much as you think about Krishna, as much as you like to chant Hare Krishna, as much you understand the philosophy, as easier as it becomes to meditate on Krishna's pastimes, then you are advancing in spiritual life. Your desire, what do you want? When you get up in the morning, what is the first thing that you think about? When you go to bed, what you wish to dream? Really, what Krishna, I want to dream this. You know, how many times we ask Krishna, please tonight, don't let me waste 6 hours. Give me this dream. I want to dream this.